17, if you would, please. Excuse me. Psalm 17. We're going to look at one verse in Psalm 17. It will be our text for tonight. Again, I really do appreciate people coming on a Sunday night. Psalm 17, the last verse. As for me, I will behold thy face, in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Heavenly Father, help me. Strength is what I need. I need guidance. I need protection. Help my body hold up and give me the strength and boldness I need to preach this word as it deserves. Help us as believers to have that blessed hope embedded in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Death is referred to as a separation. You can have a death of a relationship. You can have a death of a job. You can have a death of a car. A lot of us had cars that died. And you get rid of them, you had a separation. But when it comes to human beings, we're either separated or we sleep. There's two differences. In the Bible, you see separation and sleep with the human beings. It is a clear truth that all will die. Whether it be a separation of the body from the soul and spirit or separation from God. It is entirely up to the individual. What do we do with the Jesus matter determines how we die. Either a separation or a sleep. You see, you either are born once and die twice, or you're born twice and die once. Which is set when the nasty and later is taken care of by the here and now. We decide here and now. Amen? Keep a marker here because we're coming back. But go to Job. Just back up a little bit. Job 14. I'll read a couple verses there in my introduction here. Job 14, look at verse 7. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down. Then it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fall or fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Man is different than plants. Plants can die and then come back up. They have hope, you know, but on this earth, you die, you're done. Decisions need to be made now. Whether you're going to sleep or be in separation. Resurrection, on the other hand, is referred to as an awakening or quickening, making alive in the Bible. These two are similar with the definitions of death. You are made alive by trusting Christ of what Christ did on Calvary's cross for your payment for sin. Quicken, as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. Or you will be awakened at the last days to stand before Christ at the great white throne judgment. So your works can be shown for the reason of why you will be separated from God forever. This is called the second death. We see that in Revelation 20. This resurrection choice is made with the death choice. Die to self today by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will be quickened in the latter days to be with Him in paradise forever. Reject Him today, and you will be awakened to stand before Him face to face and bow down facing eternal death. Let us be awakened after sleep to life everlasting versus awakened to death everlasting. Amen? We need to trust him today. George Truett said it this way: there is a point where God and man must meet. I talked to my best friend in Missouri, Jerry Morgan. I said, one day you're going to meet God. This is what he told me. I'll accept him then. Too late. Too late. Either in grace or judgment, you're going to meet God. And at that point, both are revealed as they are. So we need to understand that. Here in our text, back to our text, if you would please, the book of Psalms, chapter 17. Here in our text, we find the psalmist comparing the eternal state of those who have rejected the Messiah to himself, who had trusted in the sacrificial sacrifice proclaimed. We got to understand, people in the Old Testament are saved the same way we are, by faith in God's payment. Okay, just it's by faith. The difference is there. It was different when the apostles were around. The apostles, we talked about this in Sunday school. Some of them didn't believe he rose from the grave. They were still saved by grace because they believed the Messiah, the payment for sin. They just didn't believe he was raised from the dead. Now, you and I, the Bible says, if we confess the Lord Jesus and that God hath raised him from the dead. But it's still a faith. We have to believe and trust in faith. And so we need to understand that. David looked forward to a cross. We're looking back to the cross. Well, David is proclaiming he trusted the sacrificial payment in this context. So we see some things. First of all, if you would please, we see the assurance. The assurance. I've had people all over in my life tell me this. They'll say this to me: Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Now, here's my thought right off the bat. Well, you must be. And they'll go, what do you mean? Well, you wouldn't be asking if you didn't have trust and faith in Christ whether you're saved or not. So I'll ask them, what made you think that you're not saved? Well, I just don't think a Christian can do what I'm doing. So what are you trusting in? Your perfection or the sacrifice on Calvary's cross? Amen? Yeah. Most of them go, well, I believe Jesus died for me and I trust in that. Well, then don't go off your perfection, because they ain't a one of us perfect. Amen? Yeah. And so we need to keep that in line. So we see this. Look what it says here. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake. That's an assurance. That's an assurance, knowing for sure that you are going to wake. We are going to rise again. And all God's people said. The book of Acts chapter 26 says this: why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? The problem is many, many Christians, even Christians I meet, are still a little fickle on whether or not we're going to live forever somewhere. We're going to rise again someday. So if you would go to Job in chapter 19. I like Job 19. Job 19, if you would with me, verse 25 says this. Job says this, he says, for I know after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Guess what? You know what the people that don't believe in God are right about? Worm food is what we are. That is true. But I don't care about this old carcass. How about you? You know what? The world could have this carcass. I want that new one. I want the new one. He says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and I shall behold him and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. When I awake, I shall see God. One of these days, we got to have an assurance, a belief, an understanding in our heart that we will rise again and we will look at God in the face. We got to keep that in mind. We will. When I awake, he says, I will awake. Go to 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. So you see the assurance. First of all, I will awake. When I awake, the second one is I will be changed. I will be changed. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Behold, it says there in chapter 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible puts on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, guess what? We're going to get a new body. We have corruptible bodies. They're falling apart at the seams. And if you're 12, you don't understand that yet. When you get older, you'll find out you can't jump as high as you used to. You can't, them splits, the only splits you have is in your hair or your pants when you try to move around too far. You don't, they ain't doing them splits anymore. It's amazing. You will get, your body's falling apart. Your hair falls out. Your hips become gutters for your armpits. I mean, you get messed up. That's corrupt, but praise the Lord, it's going to turn into incorruption. This mortal should be put on immortality. Aren't you glad? Then shall be brought to pass that the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I will. You know, I like that confidence, assurance. We need to have that confidence, being confident of this very thing, that he that begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We got to have that assurance. And David's saying, listen, when I awaken his likeness, I'm sure, I am positive I'm going to be changed. Now, David will be resurrected because he's dead already. But if we're alive and remain, we'll be changed on the way up. It's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I heard a twinkling of an eye is the speed of light off an eyeball. Pretty fast. Speed of light's fast enough. I don't know how much it bounces off an eyeball, but that's pretty fast. We need to understand that. Go, if you would, please, to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, I'm not giving you any new things. These are things that you ought to know by now, but look at verse 13. The Bible says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. They sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, one of the things that does concern me about Christians sometimes is they have a loss of a loved one, and they're mourning for that loved one the rest of their lives. That loved one isn't coming back, doesn't want to come back. If they're in heaven, they ain't coming back. They don't want to come back. If they're in hell, they're telling you, get saved and go to heaven. You can't talk to them. They can't talk to you. They don't know. Praise God, they don't know what's going on down here. That would not be called heaven. They're just praying underneath the altar saying, how long, Lord? Come on, get this taken care of. And he says, soon. But they don't know. But when you're crying and mourning and setting up a little altar, I went to a house the other day of a Christian, said supposedly a Christian, had a little altar over there in the corner of a son that died 20 years ago. I didn't say anything because that's not the time. Amen? But I thought in my mind, boy, we're not supposed to sorrow as others that have no hope. All I asked was, that kid a Christian? He'd go, yeah. That kid's in heaven. We ought to want our kids to go to heaven. Come on, amen? The Bible even says that the Lord delights in the death of the righteous. He takes pleasure in the death of the righteous. Did you know the Lord wants us to go to be with him? I think it's kind of selfish for us to go, well, I want my family to stay here with me. And the Lord goes, no, I want them with me. Can you imagine the tug of war sometimes that might be going at hospitals with family trying to keep them alive with all the stuff? I will. My wife the other day when she said, Saturday when she said, I thought you was dying. And she goes, I didn't know what to do. I said, let me die. And she goes, what? If it's my time, it's my time. I said, so she, now she didn't argue with me. That's the only thing that's bothering me right now. I'm not sure where I stand. Go if you. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Even so, them also which sleep in him will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which shall are asleep. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall, come on, amen? Do you see the confidence, the assurance? Be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I like how many times he used the word shall in there. That's assurance. That's telling us, man, I am going to rise. I am going to be with the Lord. I don't know about you folks, but I enjoy this life, but I can't wait for heaven. How about you? Heaven's got to be great. And so let's go back to our text. So we see the first thing. When I awaken his likeness, the first thing is our assurance. It's assurance. It's a security. The second thing we see in this chapter, if you would, please. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Listen to this. I shall be satisfied. Aspiration. Satisfied. Be satisfied. I don't know about you, but one of the things that's been bothering me over the years when it comes to the Word of God and listening to Christians, it seems like we're still in search for something. Listen to me. If God be God, serve Him. If Baal, which is basically the pleasures of this world, be God, serve them. Obviously, some Christians aren't satisfied with God only. Guess what? You're going to see God someday. Guess what? We're going to see Him, and we're going to rise, and we will awaken His likeness. I like that. But let's look at this, the confidence. Look, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would, please. Second Timothy chapter 1. Look down at verse 12 with me. Paul says this, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know who am I believed. Do you know who you believed? Say amen. Amen. And I am persuaded thee is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hey, Paul said, I have confidence. I have confidence. I am persuaded. Yeah, I know I'm persuaded he's able to keep. He begun a good work. He will finish it. He will perform it. What a blessing. We need to have that confidence, that aspiration. I'm satisfied with what Jesus did for me. I don't need anything else. I don't need any hope. We are talking about discouragement and how to overcome discouragement. One of the things that's helped me over the years is I put my hope in Christ, nothing else. I mean, this world is, things come and go. Anybody ever buy a tool and it stopped working? I bought a saw years ago. Less than a year ago, I bought a Milwaukee skill saw. And man, they're expensive. And I bought it, and praise the Lord, of course, I got it on sale. You know how I am. But I brought it home, and I'm working it. And the other day, the button that holds the saw blade got stuck, and I couldn't get it unstuck. So I said, Brennan, call up there. I mean, get online and get me that code number so I can send it back. Nothing frustrating, because that happened here at church. My shop is way over there. If I was in my shop, I'd just grab another saw. But I had to walk way over there. That's a long ways. But no, nobody wants to be, that doesn't put confidence in a tool, does it? All right, you know, we need confidence. I want to have confidence in stuff. I have confidence in what Jesus has done for me. I have complete confidence. This world I have no confidence in. Man, over the years, I say this, I go back there and we're praying back there and I look at the guys and I say, if things go the way they have been going in our church since we begun, half of you won't be here in 5 years. So I ain't trusting any one of you. I'm trusting in the Lord. That's just life, folks. Come on. I'm not trying to be mean, but I was just being honest with them. Do what you can do while you're here, because you're not going to be here forever. I wish they were. I wish we had people that would stick with the church until they die. Some do, some don't. We have had very few that have. But I would love to see that. We're not in the Midwest where you have everything going on, and it's not that time of life. But confidence, we want to have confidence in the Lord. Look, if you would, it's Colossians 2. You're in Timothy. Go back a little bit to the book of Colossians and look at chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says this, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are what? Complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith, the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So we not only see confidence in this aspiration, this satisfaction, we see completeness. Complete. Now, anybody ever see, there's a quote downstairs. Brenda, can you quote it? Your dad's quote? Come on, here we go.
When a job is once begun, never leave it till it's done. If the job be great or small, do it well and not at all.
That's a good quote, isn't it? Am I right or am I wrong? When you get a job done and done well, doesn't it feel good? Don't you get satisfied with a job well done? I try to encourage young men, especially, when you're doing a job, do it well and get it done. Don't just half... Oh, I almost said the word. It almost slipped out. I'm glad that donkey didn't slip out. Amen. Hey, I could do that. Half donkey it. Don't half donkey it. How about this? Half Democrat it. Guess what? Think about this. God didn't come up short in saving you. He didn't just get you 99% of the way there. He completed his job. And we need to praise him for it. Amen. We ought to be satisfied with the job God did on us when he saved our soul. Not only that, go to Acts 4. Familiar passage of scripture, but Acts 4. Look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby ye must be saved. Verse 10, we know he's talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So the content. In Hebrews chapter 10, he said he did his work, he finished it, and sat down on the right hand of the Father. He performed it. He did it. Finished. Done. Quit trying to work on it. I love it in the Old Testament. They tell him, don't you raise a tool to those stones. You get whole stones to make that altar. Don't you raise a tool to it, you defile the throne. The altar sacrifice. They were supposed to get full rocks. Go out there and grab a full rock. They weren't supposed to chisel it to make it fit better. Get a full rock and stack them up. Don't you dare lay a tool to it. These are my rocks. And our rock is Jesus Christ. And we need to thank him that he did it. Now, here's something we need to understand. Am I right or am I wrong? God the Father accepted the offering of God the Son. So question I have for you. If God the Father is satisfied with the offering of Christ, I think we should be also. Amen? Lastly, if you would please, back to our text. We see the assurance. We see the aspiration, the satisfaction. Let's see the last thing, if you would please. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake, here we go, with thy likeness. Assimilation. I have no idea how God's going to do this. I figured if it only took a handful of dust to make man, I don't think it'd be a problem for him to take our bodies and make him into the same image of his son when he was here on this earth and rose again. Amen? You know that resurrected body that can walk through doors? They didn't bother him. He can fly. He can disappear. He can come and go. I praise the Lord he could still eat. I don't look like it, but I like to eat. And I like food. My wife and I have discussions every once in a while because she'll make foods that don't match. I said, the taste, the flavors don't match here, girl. Now, she's very good now, but when we first got married, it was something. Green beans and spaghetti just don't work. And she goes, that's all I had. That don't work. And so... But she's very good. That's when we first, she could bake anything, but cooking was not her forte. Now it is. She's a very good cook now. But in his likeness, he became, listen to this, he became in the likeness of man so we could become the likeness of him.
Amen.
Think about that. Now, it's not impossible for us to believe. In fact, we celebrate it, don't we? It's called Christmas. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, even as the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. We knew that was God the Son in the flesh. Well, if we believe that, we can also believe that one day we're going to be made in the likeness of Him. 1 John, if you would, please. 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John, way back in the back of your Bible, chapter 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." I like that. It didn't say we will become. Now we're the sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Glorified. Come on. Now, I have no idea what the Christian judgment seat's going to be like. I do have an idea. I don't know if it's biblical. I know it's got biblical principles, but I can't claim it as inspired by God. But it makes sense to me. You and I are walking through life and we're serving the Lord. And we're, as the Lord said, all things work together for good for them. They're called according to His purpose. Amen? What is His purpose? That we be conformed to the image of Christ. You know what God wants you to be? Just like Jesus. That's why I say read your Bible. Why? So you can know how Jesus is. You got to read it all, though. You can't pick verses out. You got to read the whole counsel of God. Because Jesus is in the Old Testament. And He's all the way through. You got to find Jesus in there. You find Jesus in there and you learn to be like Jesus. I believe with all my heart we're going to stop. We're going to die. Let's say we all die today. When we see God, we're going to be just like Jesus. Something's got to happen. Come on, amen? We'll be raised again, yeah, but there has to be something that happens, because I don't know about you, I'm not exactly like Jesus yet. I don't know if I'm 55%, 35%, or 10% like Jesus. I do know this, and I believe this, we're going to be rewarded on how much we have to be improved to become just like Jesus. So if I'm going through life and I haven't gotten closer to Jesus at all, when I get to heaven, all my works will be burned up. But if I'm striving to be like Jesus and I'm doing everything I can to be like Jesus, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be rewarded. Now, that's just the way I see it. It may not be true, but I do know this. There's one thing that's factual. God wants us to be just like Jesus. And when we become just like Jesus, the Lord said, we'll be glorified. As the stars that shine in heaven, not everybody's going to have that. The book of Malachi chapter 3 says that there's going to be a separation in heaven. Those who serve God and those who serve Him not. I don't know. That's going to be weird, isn't it? The Lord's going to do that. We're going to be perfected. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Look at Revelation chapter 21. My fingers to do the walking here. Verse 4 said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, and the former things are passed away." Perfection. One of these days, amen? We're going to be eternalized. We will be with the Lord forever. That's eternal, folks. And we just read in 1 John chapter 3. I did not read verse 3, and I didn't do it on purpose because I want to read it now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is," what? "Pure." If I'm going to be in his likeness, one day I'm going to be pure. It's kind of funny. My wife was singing this song when I came up and said, I got a song to sing. And I just, Robert Salee wrote these words as a poem. Think of stepping on shore and finding a heaven. Of taking hold of a hand and finding it God's. Of breathing new air and finding it celestial. Of waking up in glory and finding it home. Okay, there it is. I set before you this life and death, good and evil. Separation or sleep, awakening or quickening. Which will it be? For I don't know about you, I've already chosen Christ. And when I awake in His likeness. Let's bow our heads.